Thanks for pressing play. By the end of this podcast, you'll know how to make your career an enriching and powerful expression of your true self and why that matters, what it means to be healthy from the inside out, and why hustle culture is prevalent even in the fitness industry. For this conversation, I invited Sadie Linkel, the co-founder and CEO of Bar3, a fitness company focused on teaching people to be balanced in body and in mind and be empowered from within. I'm your host, Milena Rigos. Welcome to the Unhustle podcast, where I combine the science of downtime with the art of living in the praise for space. I'm thrilled to have you here. In our fast-paced, hyper-connected world, hustle has become the mantra of success. But amidst the busyness and the chaos, a new wave of wisdom emerges. A movement that celebrates the power of slowing down, of being present in the moment, of making space for what matters most. Valuing our well-being, mental health, and balance above all else. Those who embrace this ethos could learn the art of unhustling, find themselves at an advantage. They become the leaders, the innovators, and the change makers who not only design their life with more intention and balance, but build companies and organizations that are profitable, as well as sustainable and socially responsible. They create work cultures that value people, collaboration, and creativity, redefining success for themselves, their companies, and the planet. Each week, we'll explore thought-provoking conversations with like-hearted rebels who have discovered the power of unhustling, challenged the status quo, and defined success on their terms. We'll uncover practical strategies, ancient wisdom, and cutting-edge research that can help you find harmony with yourself, others, and the world around you. Thanks for listening. Today's podcast is sponsored by LMNT, the maker of electrolyte drink mixes that help you stay active at home, work, the gym, or anywhere else. Everyone needs electrolytes, whether it's an athlete, diabetic or ketogenic diet, or just people trying to stay healthy. LMNT's electrolytes are key for relieving hunger, cramps, headaches, tiredness, and dizziness. I really like the combination of effective nutrition with tasty flavors, and the mango chili is one of my favorites. LMNT is offering Unhustle subscribers a free sample pack with any purchase. Your sample pack includes 8 packets of 2 citrus, 2 raspberries, 2 orange, and 2 raw unflavored. So go ahead and claim this exclusive deal by going to drinklmnt.com/unhustle. Give them a try today. You won't regret it. I use them every day. Hi, Sadie. Thank you so much for making the time today to meet with me and talk about this exciting topic of how to make your career an enriching and powerful expression of your true self. Welcome.
Thank you. My pleasure.
So you and I share a few things together, like turning 50. But I really want to dive in with your story as to how you started Bar3 and why did you start it and where is it now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start with, I started Bar3 in August of 2008 with my husband and current co-founder. We've been along for the ride together since the very beginning, 15 years ago. And we really started it because we came to that place in our lives when we had a good decade of industry wisdom, and specifically the fitness industry for me, under my belt. And we had two babies back to back. We lived in the Oakland Hills at the time, and we really just desired to do something on our own. And to solve a problem in the fitness industry that we experienced and was pretty clear to us, but nobody else is really solving it in the way that we thought we could. And so we branched out. We sold our house in Oakland, moved to Portland, Oregon. I'm from Oregon, so it's kind of nice to be close to home. But also, I felt like it was a good geography to start a business. And we started there, and now here we are, 15 years later.
And it has exploded since then. And I believe you told me that it's grown to more than 170 franchise studios, 98 countries, yada, yada, yada. It's gone gangbusters. So what was the problem that you solved?
It was really more of the psychology of fitness, how fitness was sold and still is sold to this day around this idea that if you do fitness, the measure of success is your body looking different, whether that's weight loss, becoming ripped, you know, bikini body kind of idea. And those are external measures of success that we are all very vulnerable to wanting, because we've been conditioned in this world to believe that if we have those external measures, that we will be happy, we will be successful, we will be more attractive, we will belong better. And honestly, I bought into that sort of narrative for many years, and I just felt empty. I didn't really feel like that was helping me to chase that external achievement. And yet I knew fitness was really good for me, and it did make me feel good. So what if we created a fitness company around that, around the inner landscape and what strong means from the inside? What flexible means from the inside, and really focused on exercising to be present and honest in our bodies in the very moment versus exercising to get to a future state, which is imagined anyways. And my theory was, wow, if everybody exercised like that, we would actually enjoy exercising and there wouldn't be so many people sort of periodically working out, episodically working out, and then dropping out, which is something I witnessed in the industry over and over again. But it would become something that was sustainable and inherent to who those people really were. And so that was the philosophy that behind Bar 3 and the thing we wanted to tackle. And we still continue. That's sort of our purpose and our vision for the company to this day.
So yeah, I want to like reach across the screen and give you a big hug, because what you're explaining to me, if I am to package the Unhustle philosophy in a product or a brand, you're exactly doing it from the fitness perspective. So you're taking the hustle culture mentality, repackaging it, fitness from the inside out, well-being from the inside out, and what does that look like? And it comes in the form of a mindful movement. Would that be accurate? And so, So how does that mindful movement then translate from your experience outside of the studios?
Well, my definition of mindfulness, and I'm inspired by my friend Kristen Fritz, who gave me this framing, is paying attention on purpose. So flexing that muscle of paying attention on purpose to the present moment. And I really believe it is a practice. And the more we practice paying attention on purpose and really drawing our awareness to where we want our energy to go, the better we get at that, the better we get at living fully in our lives. And that can start in the body and translate outside of the studio. So when clients come in and practice for 60 minutes, paying attention on purpose to how their body feels, and then honoring movement that is a reflection of how their unique individual body and energy level feels in that moment, you're building more than bicep muscles and core muscles. You're building your ability to be mindful as you leave the studio as well. It's a mental practice, and it really does extend beyond the studio. We hear it from clients all the time. I am such a better partner. I am better at conflict management at work. I'm a more present mother, you know, because I've developed this practice in my body, and I've actually seen that performance infuse into the rest of my life as well.
I love it. So from a mindful leadership perspective, how do you lead the company in this way?
Well, for one thing, we're anybody that is employed at Bar3 has an authentic alignment with our vision, mission, and core values, which is around this, right? Our vision is to redefine what success and fitness means, which is what I talked about at the beginning. Our mission is to teach people to be balanced in body and empowered from within. So our mission is what we do every day, and our job is to support the teachers that do that. And then our core values are a set of very specific values all around alignment around mindfulness. Like one of our core values, for example, is practice authenticity. So in the workplace, it is a practice, right? We all kind of have imposter syndrome. We want to be something that maybe we aren't. And it's a real practice as an individual, you know, around our conference room table, for example, to practice being authentic in your unique genius, your unique strength, and respect other people who have, you know, a complementary strength. That is ingrained in our culture. It's not just in the classroom at Bar3. It really is how we operate as a team. And so a lot of that philosophy is just naturally woven throughout the organization because we seek people who naturally are that way. It's not something that we need to teach. It's a truly an alignment. And I'm really big on that. And I talk a lot about this. I've certainly stumbled many times along the way in the last 15 years of taking time to hire people so that they really will succeed in our environment. And it's true with any company, really being crystal clear on core values and then hiring people around that sets everybody up for success.
Thank you for that. You touched on a word in there, a phrase that comes up quite a bit with some of the clients I work with, and that's being imposter syndrome. Mm-hmm. So any advice around that, how to overcome that from a female perspective?
I think not really advice, but an experience share, an observation around it, that it's universal. I think we all think we're the only ones that have self-doubt or, oh, I fooled them. You know, I can't believe I'm on this stage, right? That is universal. I have rarely met anybody that doesn't feel that way at any level, at any, you know, power construct. Rock stars feel that way. You know, any podcast you listen to, it's a theme of people like, oh gosh, you know, I was just listening to an interview on Smartless, which is one of my favorite podcasts. And there was an actor on there talking about he was on Saturday Night Live for 8 years. And the entire time he struggled with absolute crippling anxiety and insecurity that they messed up. And why would he ever be on that show? Right. So it's just, I think, just remembering that it's universal. No matter who you are, it's very human to have it.
That's helpful. Yeah. Thank you for that. How do you maintain balance in your personal life as a CEO of such a big company?
Prioritizing my personal life. My personal life is precious. It's the most important thing to me. And who I am in the in-between moments matters the most to me. And it's the things that bring me the greatest joy. I keep a gratitude journal, but also a highlight journal where at the end of the day, I write kind of the top highlights of the day. And they're not crushing the meeting or winning the deal or whatever, making the magazine. It's never, ever that. It's having a walk with my dogs, a thoughtful conversation with my teenage son, a belly laugh with a colleague, you know. That's my highlight reel. And so I prioritize my personal life because I want to like make my highlight reel even more. I don't want it to be like less of my life. I want it to be more of my life.
What are some failures that you can look back to as stepping stones, learning moments, epiphanies?
So many. I would say one of the things that I wish I did differently was more around like self-worth. I think in the earlier days when Bar 3 was just starting to take off, or not in the earlier days, kind of mid days, when Bar 3 was really starting to take off and grow and scale, I don't think, in retrospect, I had the confidence I needed to know to go outside of Bar 3 and recruit like top-notch players to help me run my company. Maybe I didn't think those people would believe in my vision and they would take it somewhere different. You know, that's a self-worth conversation. Now I know my vision really is strong, right? Today I do, but back then maybe I didn't think that. And so I was afraid to hire anyone. I was afraid they'd mess it up or not believe in me or not see what I saw. And because of that, I think I put too much pressure on a team that wasn't ready to grow the company as fast as the demand was. And those were really hard years. I put too much pressure on myself to fill a role in the company that I wasn't really designed to fill as a chief executive officer, making financial decisions for forecasting and planning, managing lots of different personalities, HR, legal. I mean, all of that I was putting on my own shoulders versus finding people who were designed to do that and who would believe in me. Once I figured that out, everything unlocked. And it's been wonderful since then, but I don't think I did it quick enough.
That's such a good lesson for entrepreneurs, including myself, right? Because we can't do it alone. And the more I'm leaning into, even from a collaboration standpoint, just bouncing ideas off of other people or surrounding yourself with like board of advisors, the more I'm like, why do I even think I can do this alone?
Right. Yeah, I think a mental trap we get into, and you hear it all the time, is, well, nobody can do it like I can do it because I'm the founder and I have the vision. And I'm so worried about the quality
right,
being watered down or diminished. And now when I coach other young entrepreneurs, I'm like, what if, just imagine you had the best HR person on the planet who believed in you and saw your vision. Would you like to work with them?
Right.
You know, what if you had the best chief financial officer ever to exist who believed in you and wanted you to succeed? Would you work with them? And the answer is always yes, 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 right?
Right.
And I don't think some of us believe that's possible, but it absolutely is. And sometimes, you know, it just takes hearing that to have the confidence to go out and seek and find those top-notch team members.
And at the same time, there's so many people with so much wisdom and knowledge who have nothing to do and that who would love to mentor people.
Yeah.
And all it takes is just reaching out or reaching out to your network and finding these people that are just would love to do it.
Yes. Yeah.
It's so funny. Sadie, what does a day in the life of Sadie look like right now?
It's not uniform. It's very different each day. Today, for example, I got up, I took a walk with my dogs. I had morning coffee with my husband and co-founder, and we talked about our day. We did studio tours with some prospects that came into town, and we toured several studios with them, with my team, which is, I don't often do, but these people I know, so I wanted to kind of connect with them. Later, I'll go back to the office. I'm doing this podcast at home, where it's quiet and I know I have good internet. And then I will go back and have a kind of a strategic growth meeting at 2:30 today. And I'll probably entertain the folks that are visiting for dinner and come home and feed my son, my teenage son. I'll get him a doggy bag from the restaurant. So he'll be stoked to get, you know, he'll come home from climbing at about 8:30 and then we'll watch some great Netflix and go to sleep. That's my day to day. And every day is a variation of that, but it's definitely a mix of home, dogs, kids, and business.
It sounds like a pretty perfect day to me. As long as there's play and relationships and work and creativity and strategy and fulfillment in there, family time, I think it's pretty good balance. What about on the annual basis? How do you fill your cup?
On an annual basis?
Uh-huh. Do you take time to reflect think long term.
Yes.
Just make time for just yourself.
Yes, I do. Yeah, I love wrapping a year and thinking about the next year ahead. I mentioned earlier, I do gratitude every morning. And then I do the highlight reel at night. And I write all that down in one journal. And what I like to do is reflect back and just read from the previous year, like the things I was most gratified around and the highlights of my day, and then use that as material to craft the next year. Like, for example, big theme is nature and dogs. And that's not necessarily like going and, you know, some amazing like adventure tour in Patagonia, right? No, that's like going to the countryside outside of Portland and making sure I do that, you know, on the regular with my dogs and just carve that into my life. Certainly my work persona, like what truly energizes me and fills my cup, is in my highlight reel. And that's where I've learned to just craft my career around that versus things that deplete me. And the things that deplete me are not my strengths anyways. They're not what serve the company. Mm-hmm. So really focusing on serving Bar3 in a way that energizes me, but also serves the company, and I'm very specific about that now. So I don't run the day-to-day of Bar3. I take a lot of time to make sure I have the right team that does. And I spend time with that team, you know, every single week. And it's very specific how I spend my time with them. And I have, you know, that understanding and wisdom has come from me looking back at the year before and what has worked for me.
So much wisdom there. I love it. Where do you see yourself in Bar3, let's say 3 years from now?
I think more of the same. Bar3 is really, it is so gratifying right now because the foundation, I have what I call, my husband and I have what we call our founders' guiding principles. And they are the building blocks. They are what allow us to let go and empower the team to make decisions. Because if they're in alignment with these founding principles, then we're really okay letting go. And they're not things like accounting, operations, marketing. It's not the building blocks of business. It's more what we care about. And one of our guiding principles is I care that our studio business, our franchisees, are teaching the Bar3 signature class remarkably well, because that's the foundation and success of our company. And when we're doing that at scale, everything else is possible. We can do a digital business. We can do retail business. We can do retreats. We can, you know, do all that. And for 3 years, that was highly compromised, obviously, during the pandemic. We couldn't do what we are foundationally meant to do. And it's so beautiful right now to see that come back to life, and that our revenue, I mean, we're coming close to 2019 numbers again. Our classes are full with wait lists. And it's just so gratifying to see that foundational thing that I believe so wholly in is once again whole and recovering and thriving. So I think in the next 3 years, we're just going to double down on franchise growth, teaching remarkable classes, taking care and empowering business people out in the world who want to open their own studios, and reaching more and more people through the digital journey as well, as it complements the studio journey. It's as simple and as complex as that, but just more of what we're doing in a really sustainable way.
Thank you for that, Sadie. How many principles do you have as founders? How many are
there? Guiding principles?
Yes.
It's vision, mission, values, everything ladders up to that. Foundation first, which is what I just talked about. When we're managing our energy, it's focusing on the studio business and the signature class first before all the other things. Enlightened hospitality, which is inspired by Danny Myers, around that relationships matter even more than exercise, how we treat each other in the in-between moments as team members, but also our clients, matters more even than exercise. Thoughtful beauty, design matters. And then the last one is workplace awesomeness. And really, if we do those four other things, we create workplace awesomeness, a place that attracts stellar people, to help us grow what we're doing. No, if we're doing all those things, Chris and I are happy. That's all we truly care about are those things, because I know that those are the building blocks of why we were so, so resilient during COVID, because we had those five things prioritized. And I believe it's how we'll continue to be sustainably strong as an organization.
Thank you, Sadie. I really appreciate the time with me. I know you have a busy day ahead of you, so I want to be respectful of your time. Was there anything I didn't ask you that you would like to add?
No, I don't think so. It's been a pleasure reconnecting with you all these years later. And thank you so much for having me on as your guest on your podcast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Sadie. Thanks for making the time. Where can people get in touch with you and the company?
It's barre3, barre3.com. All of our information is there. And then, of course, Instagram, Facebook. My handle's Sadie Lincoln. So I enjoy connecting with people there. But also, we have barre3 visibility there as well. Love people to plug in and see what we're all about.
Thank you so much. I wish you continued success with your vision and with the beautiful life and career that you've created. Thank you.
Thank you.
I invite you to join the Unhustle Movement and embark on a transformational journey towards a life filled with intention, meaning, and well-being. Remember to subscribe, share with others, and leave a review so that more people can find and embrace this new way of living. You can join our growing community of like-hearted rebels at unhustle.com. If something sparked your curiosity or shifted a perspective from this conversation, please tag me on social media and let me know. You'll find me under the handle @unhustle. You can also subscribe to our free Unhustle Rebels newsletter at unhustle.com. Until the next time, goodbye.